Hello and welcome to ADHD Fest, the podcast all about adult ADHD with a little bit of law of attraction and self-development thrown in there. I am your host, Tara Pratt, and today's episode, I want to get real. Let's get real. I am all about that Delulu life. I am all about mindset. I've been into it for over 20 years at this point. I fully believe thoughts become things. I fully believe we can overcome anything we put our minds to. I fully believe in manifestation. I fully believe in crystals. I fully believe in the power of our minds and the power of the universe. I love to live that Delulu life, but not toxic positivity, just looking on the brighter side of life. You can always choose to believe there's always things to be sad about and there's always things to be happy about in life. And sometimes things come up stronger than others, but I feel like you can choose what you focus on and you are in control of a lot more than you are aware that you are. And when I'm in the depths of something terrible, I always know in the back of my mind, tomorrow's another day. Things can change on the toss of a coin. You never know what's around the corner. And I love that about myself. I love that I look on the positive side. But all that being said, all of that is true. I think sometimes we need to get real in order to heal. I've just coined that phrase. I know it's cheesy, but I like it. We're going to get real to heal. So where has this come from? Well, today we're having a bit of trickle-down therapy. So I have had a therapy session this morning. I think I've mentioned it on a couple of the other episodes before. I seem to be coming up against this pattern of not fully accepting that I have ADHD. Now, you can tell I've got a podcast all about it. I have no shame around having ADHD at all. The stigma of the word just isn't a thing for me. I didn't feel any stigma around being diagnosed. I don't care who knows it. I will tell anyone that I do have ADHD. But on some subconscious level, I still berate myself when those symptoms of ADHD come up, as if I have some kind of control over it, as if I'm choosing to be that way, which is actually internalized ableism. So because society, maybe parents, maybe friends, maybe television shows, anything, we've had these like small, subtle, subconscious messages around disabilities, neurodiversity, they can become internalized completely subconsciously without us even realizing it. Judgments form inside of this is right, this is wrong, you should do things this way, you shouldn't do things that way. And it can become internalized ableism, which I would obviously say I am not ableist. I would like to think I'm not ableist, but somewhere deep inside, I do judge myself sometimes when I am in burnout, when I am late for something, when I forget things, when I can't get the executive function to get off the couch, when I don't know where to start, when I'm feeling anxious. And all of these stem from my ADHD. If I was to say that about another person, that I was judging them for those things, which clearly come from ADHD, then that would be ableist. I don't think it about other people, by the way. I only tend to think about it about myself. And that's the problem. This internalized ableism can go past practically invisible. You don't even realize you're doing it. Again, that inner critic. It kind of just happens automatically and you think that's actually how you feel. But really, it's just conditioning. It's just old programming. You would never shame and judge someone else for doing the same thing, but you do it to yourself automatically and you think it's okay because that is what is normal to you, but it's not okay. And luckily for me, I'm very privileged that my therapist, one, to have a therapist, and two, that she could point this out in me, that I would never feel that way about someone else who was struggling with something that they didn't ask for, that they had no say in, and 95% of the population don't struggle with. I believe in the Delulu life. I believe in choosing the positive and focusing on that. But I think in doing that, I've skipped a step. I think it's really important to have that strong mindset and focus on the positive and not live in victimhood. But I've skipped that very important step before that. Before you focus on the positive and trying to find solutions and be proactive, you must fully acknowledge the problem and the issue and the full depth of it. So I want to give you an analogy that's just come to the top of my head, so we'll see how it turns out. If you had a cut on your leg and it was grossing you out, it hurt, you didn't really want to look at it because you were freaked out, so you're just like, right, let's just put a plaster on it. Right, I've cut my leg, what can we do quick? Stop the bleeding. Okay, let's stop the bleeding, put some Sudocrem or antiseptic on it, and then we're going to put a plaster on. But you haven't taken the time to look at that cut on your leg properly and be like, actually, it's quite deep. Actually, a plaster is not going to do it. Actually, we need to go to the hospital and have this checked out properly. That is the way I think I've been looking at my ADHD in a very simplified way. Is I'm like, okay, I've got ADHD. Same as saying, okay, I've got a cut. And then without actually feeling the depths of what that means for me, how bad it is, I have tried to make my ADHD better, improve my life, looking at it as, okay, I've got ADHD, without looking deeper and being like, actually, this is a bigger problem. This is actually quite bad. This is actually a really deep cut. And once I know it's the deep cut, then I'll take different actions. I hope that makes sense. It makes sense to me in my mind. So let's take a look at that cut. It's hard to do. It's hard to be vulnerable with yourself. It's hard to admit that you've been dealt a bad hand sometimes, particularly for me for some reason. I do tend to automatically switch to the positive, which is a great trait to have, but I'm kind of sidestepping that grief and looking at the problem head on. How bad is it? How bad is this cut? Can I take just a plaster, or am I going to need surgery? Am I going to need, like, what do I need to not fix this problem? Same as with a cut, you're never going to fix it. You're going to have a scar. There's going to be an aftermath and a consequence. So I'm not going to fix it, but how can I heal it? How can I make it better? You might be able to tell through the way I'm talking on this podcast that I have no script here. I have no layout of how this is going to go. I have literally come off of my therapy session. I started chatting myself through it. I like to, sometimes I'll journal, but a lot of the time I'll speak out loud because it's the easiest way to work through my thoughts and give myself ideas, is to have that conversation with myself out loud. So after the session, I was like talking myself through it, and I was like, okay, if I needed to feel how bad this actually is, what would I think? What would I say? And then I realized as I started talking, I should just make this a podcast. You can do it along with me. That being said, this may be a bit jumbled. What I say might not completely make sense. It's all off the top of my head. It's all my natural instinct. The things that I'm saying are just top of my head. Probably on further inspection, maybe I won't agree with them. These are like the deepest, darkest, subconscious limiting beliefs that a lot of the time are not true. Let's just say that up front. A lot of the things I'm going to say next are not true, but I'm trying to inspire you to do the same and look at those limiting beliefs that come up in you without judgment, and then just bring them to the surface and look at them, because while we push them down, they're always going to stay there. So my therapist said to me, maybe you need to feel sorry for yourself. And I have spent time feeling sorry for myself. I have spent time trying to give myself that space, that acceptance. But really, the true meaning of feeling sorry for yourself is not feeling sorry for yourself like, oh, it's so bad, I've got ADHD. Oh no, I feel anxious today. That's rubbish. feeling sorry for yourself is looking at it head on. For example, ADHD, I wish I'd known. I wish I'd known earlier that I had ADHD. I wish I understood fully what ADHD is. I wish the experts understood fully what ADHD is. I wish people in my family in the past that, from my perspective, definitely looked like they had it, knew about this and maybe their lives could have gone differently. Then I skip to, okay, we've got it. What can we do about it? And then I start researching all the ways to help my ADHD, which is great. But looking up ways to help it, looking up strategies, trying to make my life easier, probably should have come after more thoughts like, oh my God, I've got a disability. Now, I have never really been able to call ADHD a disability. It's been called a lot of things in front of me on various courses by different experts, by different influencers. It's called a lot of different things. Some of them are negative in my mind and stigmatize it, and it gets a strong reaction out of me. And I'm like, how dare they? How dare they say that? So I'm sorry if me saying it's a disability does that for you. That's not my intention at all. I'm just saying disability in the sense of some people don't have it. And some people live their lives without the effects and symptoms of it. Another thing that I've never been able to watch, I'll be 3 years diagnosed in August, and there's a talk going around. I've no idea who the speaker is, but you'll have seen it on Instagram or TikTok. It's a white-haired man with a beard that talks a lot about ADHD, and he has some great points. He knows a lot about ADHD. I don't know his name, so don't ask me. But he has a specific talk that has been on a lot this week because it's Neurodiversity Week. This won't go out this week, it'll be out next week. But while I'm recording, it's currently Neurodiversity Celebration Week. And his talk has gone round a lot where he says ADHD is not a superpower. ADHD is not a gift. And I was so triggered by that. And I know a lot of people get annoyed when they go, it's not a superpower. And I understand it's not a superpower, it's a disability. But I like to find the strengths. I like to find, okay, what is a superpower? What can I turn into a superpower? Like hyperfocus. Like, do you know what I mean? What can I take from this bad situation and make good? Which is a wonderful concept to have, and I do want to go back to that in the future. But I can't even look at that video, that possibility that it's not. This expert is telling me it's not a gift and it's not a superpower, and that has been a trigger for me, obviously, because I would scroll right on past. I don't even want to hear what you've got to say. I don't want to hear your explanation. I want to live in my delusional land that it is a superpower and I'm pleased to have it. Well, I watched it. I made myself watch it. To summarise, what he says is it's not a superpower and it's not a gift. It is a hindrance. Yes, there are people with ADHD that have done amazing things. Lots of them are entrepreneurs. Lots of them have created successful businesses. They're wonderful parents. Yes, they've done amazing things. We need to stop saying it's because of their ADHD. They have achieved those things in spite of their ADHD. It contributes because, you know, impulsivity, I'm sure, has contributed to Richard Branson starting his businesses, taking risks. I'm sure it did. But risk-taking didn't build Virgin. Risk-taking isn't the only factor that made him a billionaire. Because if that were the case, all of us with ADHD would be billionaires. All of our risk taken would pay off in that way. So it's not the ADHD that is the superpower. Richard Branson is the superpower. It's not because of his ADHD that he's successful. It's because of him, in spite of the ADHD. Can you see the difference? I think I need to personally, and maybe you as a listener, need to give this some thought and fully accept. Yes, ADHDers tend to be more creative. Are there neurotypicals that are creative? Yes. Yes, ADHDers tend to be entrepreneurs. Are there neurotypicals who are entrepreneurs? Yes, there is. So it's not a superpower. You don't have to have ADHD to do these things. That's not what makes you good at those things. You make you good at those things. That is what is good about you. And ADHD is the thing holding you back from fully expressing that. And we need to acknowledge that that is crap. And grieve it. And grieve it that, yes, a huge percentage in the grand scheme of things have ADHD, 5% of people at least, most of whom are undiagnosed, have ADHD. We're not alone. That is a lot of people. But 95% do not. And that is a lot more people. So it's okay to feel sorry for yourself. It's okay to grieve that. It's okay to realize I would have it so much easier if I didn't have ADHD. It's okay to feel sorry for yourself. Everyone has problems and everyone has struggles, but that doesn't invalidate yours. Take a moment to just acknowledge that. To acknowledge that you have ADHD and it's not an even playing field. It doesn't mean it's something to be ashamed of. You didn't ask for it. You haven't created it. It's something you had no say in or control of at all. It is what it is. Why would you be embarrassed of something you have no say in? You have no control over. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. I think in the past, in the early days of diagnosis, I told people I was proud of my ADHD. But actually, there's nothing to be proud of either, because I didn't create it. I didn't give myself ADHD. I had no say in it. It's neutral. There's no judgment to be made. I don't need to feel ashamed and I don't need to feel proud. I have ADHD, it's just a fact. And it's actually nothing to do with me. On a personal level, on a moral level, it's nothing to do with me. It's just something I have that I had no say in. Now, taking a step back into Delulu for a moment, I do still believe that everything happens for a reason. I am glad I've got ADHD on some level, because I get to do things like this podcast, because I like the way I think. I like that I am logical. I like that I look for the excitement in life, which is obviously dopamine seeking. So there are aspects of it that I do like. But would it be better if none of us had to deal with this crap? Probably. It probably would be better. That's not reality. The reality is we have been dealt a hand that 95% of the population have not. And it's the same as if we were dealt a hand of poor eyesight. Would we say someone with poor eyesight doesn't deserve glasses? Because other people get by without glasses, so why should you have them? No. When we acknowledge ADHD actually isn't a gift, it's a struggle, the same as poor eyesight is a struggle, then we can accept the support, we can accept more help, and we can acknowledge that we deserve that help. A person with poor eyesight deserves glasses. They do. A person with ADHD deserves support. Just because they do. We had no more say in our disability than someone with poor eyesight has on their eyesight. And it's okay to feel sorry for yourself for a short period of time. What we don't want to do is get stuck in that mode, get stuck in victimhood, get stuck in grief. But don't go to the other end. Don't swing the other way and be like, okay, I felt this for 5 minutes. Let's be positive now. No, you've got to fully acknowledge it. You've got to look it in the eye. You can't know how to best deal with a problem until you know the full extent of it. Look at the problem in its full depth and make sure we've been in every little nook and cranny of seeing how bad it is. We've got to make that painful move to acknowledge every area of our lives that it affects in a negative way and fully feel how rubbish that is and how unfair that is and how unjustified that is. And then we will feel worthy of putting the full support in place, not only from other people, but from ourselves. I have struggled to accommodate myself in so many ways, and slowly but surely I'm like, okay, maybe I do need to buy myself a grabber, you know, like the litter picker. I bought myself one the other week and I've been using it to help tidy up, and it's made a massive difference, not only to the enjoyment of doing the task and not having to bend up and down all the time and making it faster, but I've actually got a bad back. When I bend over a lot when I'm tidying, it really hurts, and I wouldn't acknowledge that. I wouldn't accommodate myself, because on some level I wouldn't acknowledge this is rubbish, this hurts, this is bad, this is what happens to me, and it's worse than what other people have to go through because they don't have a bad back. So I forced myself to get this grabber. Everything is much better, but the progress is really slow for me because I'm not fully accepting it. So I think that's what I'm going to do this afternoon. I hope this hasn't been too garbled, this podcast, but I really wanted to just live process you through my thoughts on it at the moment, and they could change next week. This is just initially what I'm feeling, but I feel like it's really gonna speed up my progress to look at the problem in all its depth and accept that I need accommodations, I need help with this, because it's not fair, and 95% of the population aren't dealing with these struggles in the same way that I am. So yeah, I deserve help, I need help, and I'm going to accept that help, and I'm not going to feel guilty about it, and actually I feel really good about that. So what I was scared of was looking at all of these and feeling bad and feeling sorry for myself and just crying into the abyss for the rest of my life, when actually at the end of this podcast, after talking that through, I feel better. I feel better to acknowledge that I am struggling, and because of that struggle I deserve help from myself and from other people. And then once I've fully acknowledged it all, once I've put that help in place, then we get back to Delulu. Then we are going to get back to all the positive things we can do to focus on the amazing positives, to get ourselves in the right mindset and do our best every day. Anyway, I think I've rambled on enough. Please do message me. I love your feedback. I'm getting more and more these days. Everyone's getting braver in reaching out. I've had some lovely messages over on Instagram. I am over on TikTok as well. I'm nearly at the 1,000 followers mark, and that means I can make my link live in my bio. So if you want to help me out, I think I'm on like 919 at the moment, and they won't let you put a link in your bio without 1,000. So I'm trying to share like my UK Right to Choose diagnosis freebie with people on there, and they can't click my link, which is really annoying. So if you want to help me out, head over to TikTok and follow me on there. If you want help with daily tasks, particularly cleaning and tidying, because that seems to be the main focus at the moment, don't forget we've got the Body Doubling Club that you can join down below. If you're in the UK, it's $5.99 a month. You can cancel at any time. If you're in other countries, I'm not sure how that translates into dollars. I think like American dollars, it's like $7. But there's the links down below for that. Or you can just do it on Apple. If you're listening on Apple, at the top of the show page, it'll have the Body Dublin Club podcast. It's just exactly like this, but it's real time and we do a task together. For example, I did a whole house speed clean last week. That was a lot of fun, and I get stuff done, and you tell me when you're in the club that you're getting stuff done. So check that out down below if that's of interest to you. I've also got a workshop coming up, can you believe? I decided on an absolute ADHD impulsive whim that I was going to do a workshop on rejection sensitive dysphoria, because I've got a lot to say on it. We're mostly all affected by it. I think something like 80% of people with ADHD are affected by it, and you will be surprised the ways it impacts your life and holds you back. It's really interesting. So that will already be launched by the time you're listening to this. It is free for the first 10 people, so go check out the link. I'll try and leave it down below, and hopefully you're in that first 10. But after that, it's going to be £11. £11 per person, and it's going to be like a live webinar style workshop on RSD. And you can get all the info on this down below on the link. It'll tell you what you get with it, but it's going to be super helpful for handling rejection sensitive dysphoria. I struggle with it really badly, and I've got a podcast and I'm online putting myself out there. So I think I've got quite a lot to say that will be helpful on getting through rejection sensitive dysphoria, because obviously with a platform like this, I'm just putting myself out there for rejection, and I couldn't do it without these tools in place. So check that out, and I will see you all next week. Bye.